Christopher Fry said, "Thank God our time is now." And he was echoing something that Robert Mueller said a few years ago when he had been, you know, with the UN and he had been really involved with peace. And he said, "This is such a miraculous time to be alive." Well, you know, there may be some people would say, "Where were they? Haven't they been listening to the news? Don't they know what's going on in Syria? Don't they know what's going on in Congress? Don't they know what's going on with all these things? How could they absolutely be saying, 'Thank God our time is now,' or 'What a miraculous time we're living in?'" Well, I believe that I can answer that question a little bit, and I'm going to use a quote from Gustave Flaubert from the 19th century. And one of the things he said was, "It is only those who are ignorant of history that can slander their own times." Because I've run across people who say, "Oh, what's the world coming to? I mean, you know, you can hardly leave your house for 5 minutes before you get robbed." And I think, I know lots of people. I know a few people who've gotten robbed, but I don't know anyone who thinks they can't leave their house for 5 minutes without getting robbed. Or occasionally we have people say, "Oh, what's the world coming to? Look at all the things that are happening out there and all this." And you say, "Okay, what is the world coming to?" But see, Flaubert was right when he said, if we want to know what the world is coming to, we need to look at history. We need to look where the world has been. So let's take a minute and look where the world has been. We now, for the first time in our human history, have the ability to look back over thousands of years to really understand and see from whence we've come. And what do we see? We see that there was a time, probably somewhere between 35 and 50,000 years ago, where we as human beings were first becoming aware, first knowing that we knew, first asking the questions. And we lived tribally with people, you know, of our own tribe, and we felt so insecure outside our own tribe, and we were so connected with our own tribe and didn't have any knowledge at all of who we were individuals, that people actually died if they felt that they were set apart from their tribe. That's been 35 to 50,000 years ago. Well, then there came a time when we moved a little bit beyond that. We went to the time where we started developing ego, sort of an I, you know, I can do this. Now, it's interesting to note, and I'm giving you a history lesson here, I know, and some of you already know all this. Came a time when we discovered agriculture, and we could build our own farms, and we could domesticate our own animals, and with it came the idea of, I can do this. But also what came with it was the idea of, yeah, but I'm bigger than you are, and I can take it away from you. But you know, so we lived through that, and we lived through that history. And then we went into another level where it got so bad that we were so violent because of all of our taking away from each other and our thinking that the only thing we could do was develop our own ego and not pay attention to anyone else. And we began to say, we need some law and order in our life. And that was fine because we do need law and order, don't we? But the law and order got to the place where it was abusive. And we knew it was saying, you have to have it this way. It's our way or the highway. Now, we don't see any of that today, do we? And, of course, the reason we do is because we still have within us vestiges of these previous lifetimes that we've lived through. So that's okay. And then came the scientific and the industrial revolution, and all of a sudden we began to be able to look at the heavens and be able to see things that we hadn't been able to see before, and we began to understand that the church at that time, who was telling us that we were the center of the world and the sun went around it, well, that didn't work that way anymore. Well, there's one thing we need to know, and that is that every time we had a major change at one of these junctures, from when we went from one level of understanding, one level of consciousness to another, there was chaos. There was a lot of lack of order, and people got really uncomfortable leaving their tribe and developing an ego. They become uncomfortable at every juncture of the way. So why is it Christopher Fry and Robert Mueller could say, "Thank God our time is now"? The next line in Christopher Fry's quote is this. He said, "Thank God our time is now, when wrong comes up to meet us everywhere, never to leave us until we take the longest stride we've ever taken. The enterprise is exploration into God." So what are we looking at now? We're looking at a lot of chaos, aren't we? We're looking at a lot of disorder. We have a lot of people who are saying, "I think this is the worst time we've ever been in history." But remember, only those who do not know their history can see this as the worst time in history. They can slander our times right now and say, "What's the world coming to?" without realizing that we can put something very positive under that. What's the world coming to? The world is coming to a more kinder, more loving place. If we are able to look back over history, we are now able to see very clearly that as a human species, we are more kinder, more loving, more willing to work together, more willing to look for a peaceful world than we have ever been in our history before. One of the things Robert Mueller said when he said this is a miraculous time in history, he said, "You know, this is the only time in history that we have ever had a conversation, a dialogue about what it might mean to have peace in the world. In the last few decades, it's the only time in history people have said, 'Oh, it's time we need to sit down and talk about if we can bring peace to the world.'" Some of us in this room remember the 60s. Well, in the 60s, we thought we were going to bring peace to the world. We really did. We thought that we were going to be able to love one another. But it was not easy being green, was it? Because green is the next level that we came to after we left the scientific revolution. Revelation, yeah, that's good too. Because in the level that we are predominantly in now, not only in society, but in unity, let's face it, we have a lot of green. And green can be very wonderful because green is what came in during the time when we began to look at what was happening as a result of the Industrial Revolution, that we had child labor. We had no recognition of women's rights, hardly. We had racial discord. All of that time, we had environmental issues. All of a sudden, we began to see, we can't do the world this way anymore. We need to become sensitive to other people. We need to become aware that we have a large number of people out there who are not being represented with talents and skill and wisdom, and they were women. We need to understand we had large groups of people out there of other races that had wisdom and something to bring to the whole community. And so we entered an era that new thought entered at the time. We began to see a different perception of God. At every one of the levels that I've mentioned, we had a different perception of God. And each one of them was a wider, broader understanding of what it means to be divine. And so when the transcendentalists came in and began to talk about the inner wisdom and the inner divinity, and new thought began to come in and began to say, there's one presence and one power in the universe, and there's divinity within humankind. It was an understanding of God that was new. It was a part of this ongoing evolution that we have been in. And the beauty of being able, as we are now, to look back and to see where we've been and to see how far we've come is one of the most wonderful things. And it's also wonderful for us not to take advantage, not to take for granted, rather, that it's always been this way, because it hasn't. We have been on a journey. We have been on a journey that perhaps started 14 billion years ago. And what's wonderful to know is that one part of us was there. One part of you and me were in that beginning of that journey. And you've heard the expression, we are star stuff. The very being of us contains the elements of the stars. So be able to say, I was there 14 billion years ago. Some part of me, some element of me was there. I was there when I lived within the tribes and I worshiped all the other gods I did not know about because I did not have any way of knowing about. But I was there when I developed the idea that it's important for individuals to have a strong, healthy ego. I'll diverse just a minute and say some of us who are women who lived through my time and some of the generations later than me had a hard time claiming our identity, didn't we? Because somehow or other, we had so embedded in us the idea that our role in life, you know, to please other people, and oh, heaven forbid we should ever be angry. Heaven forbid that we should ever have any of those kind of thoughts. It wasn't very ladylike, was it? So what we had to do is we had to go back and reclaim that piece of our journey that we had left behind. And when we do that, and we realize, I have something to contribute. I am woman, hear me roar. I've lived long enough to have seen what it's like to live under previous conditions. And what I have learned is the beauty and the grandeur and the wisdom of knowing I have been part of it all. I have been part of it all. I was there. Some part of me was there when we said we can't live this way anymore in this violent age. I was there when we say we cannot live under this strict, abusive church system that we had in the ages. I was there when the scientists first began to look and say, there's wonder in the heavens out there. It's bigger than we thought it was. And I was able to begin to understand that I'm bigger than I thought it was. Are you aware of James Dillett Freeman's poem? He said, when looking at an acorn, small and hard and plain, could I envision oak trees? Or by listening to the rain, could I imagine oceans? Or could I understand the desert if my hand but held a single grain of the sand? So never let me think that what I chance to see, these hands, this face, this form, that this is all of me. For just as ancient oaks and seas that know no shore, to me there is yet more, yet more. When I am able to really get it, that there's been a part of me that's been a part of this great evolutionary process from the very beginning, there's more. There's more to me. There's more to you. So I have a thing that I think about when I think, okay, it's wonderful to know all this history, but I'm living today, and I'm living today in a world where I know a lot of people still say to me, what's the world coming to? Or sometimes they say, oh, this is the worst time we've ever had in history. And so how do I deal with that? So this is what I have come to understand. Sometimes it's possible to take a telescope and look at the world, and you can see the hugeness of it all. Sometimes you can pick the telescope up and look at the other round, and you see little things, okay? And I've discovered that we have a choice. We have a choice of whether we want to look at our telescope so that we're focusing on the big things and not be turning it around so that our focus becomes on what's wrong with my neighbor, what's wrong with Congress, what's wrong with the world. And so it's important that from time to time that we remember which end of the telescope we're looking through. But on the other hand, we do not want to forget. So we're living in this time where it's important for us to do the both and. So it's important for me to realize, yes, there are some things going on in the world that maybe I can contribute to change. And yes, I need to know that. But what I need to know is that when I focus on that to the exclusion of the bigger picture, then I become ineffective because there's not much I can do about everything else in the world. But I also know there is something to do for something. One quick quote, and this is Clarissa Pinkola Estes. During the first Gulf War, some of you may have read her essay when she wrote to a young activist, and she said, "Do not be discouraged about what's going on now." She said, "Do not focus on all of that which is wrong or unmended in the world. Focus on that piece that you can change." And so, to me, when I say, what's the world coming to? The world is coming to a better, kinder, more loving place, and I am a powerful person that has an ability to make some change to that world. And I'm going to close by something you may have read before. The hawk once said to the dove, "How much does a snowflake weigh?" And the dove said, "Oh, nothing, almost nothing." And the hawk said, "Let me tell you a story." He said, "Last week, I was sitting on a limb and I was watching the snow fall. And I didn't have anything else better to do, so I started counting the snowflakes. And I got up to 7,952,167. And the next flake of snow, the limb broke." And the dove said, "Oh, well," the dove was one of the birds that Noah left out, "and the dove is about peace. Maybe I can be that one snowflake that bring peace to the world." So my challenge to you is to always be aware that we've come from a long history that we've been a part of, and we are part of an even greater history that's coming about. And let us vow to be that one snowflake that focuses on the one thing that I may be able to help unmend. Thank you. What a time. What a time to be aware of the power within us. And what a time to be aware of from whence we've come. So I invite you to take some time now to enter that place in you where you feel that connection to your divinity, that connection to the cosmos, that connection to the universe, that connection to whatever name we call God. I invite you to take a moment to just feel. Feel that I am powerful. I am here for a purpose. And yes, I have a part to play. I invite you to feel the excitement and the wonder of knowing that we're all part of a great evolutionary journey that is continuing. And to affirm and know that we are kinder and more loving and more wise than we have ever been. And then what lies ahead of us is a world that we can help bring more wisdom, more love, and more kindness into. I invite you to know that even though there may seem to be chaos in the world and in our lives, that chaos is a sign of a new level of order that's emerging within us and within the world. So I invite you to say, "I can be open and at peace because I know. Because the knowing within me is greater than any apparent chaos in the world that is lasting." I invite you to take a moment to send out to those next to you, those all around you, those in your life, the message that we are on an onward, upward journey. And the Spirit at work in our lives is bringing about that world of peace and understanding. I invite you to take a moment where you're silent within yourself to know the truth of who we are and why we are here. And I invite you to feel gratitude that we can trust the universe that has brought us this far. And we can trust the process that is at work in our lives and in the world. For we are grateful. And so it is. Amen.